Hello and welcome back to The Dive, season 8, episode number 12, the Divies Awards, first one of 2024, otherwise known as the lemon eating episode for all of us, because even I ended up losing. You guys lost first, but I also—
You lost twice?
Wait, didn't you? Well, 100 Thieves lost first.
And I was still in it.
But you were still
I only
in
need
it.
One.
You're right. We were still in it. We did lose first, but you lost most.
But we're all losers the same. Yeah. So honestly, I think we
honestly pretty impressive for three people who are paid to watch League of Legends, think about League of Legends. We had three guesses out of eight teams, and none of us got it. So cheers.
It's somehow still having jobs. It's a complete flip.
I mean, that's just...
You win or you lose. So everything's 50-50.
Much more credit to Team Liquid for their...
If someone bet for Team Liquid at the start of the split, like, I feel like that wouldn't have made sense.
Yeah.
Like, they definitely showed up at the end. They played the best.
I talked to Team Liquid at the start of the split. I don't think Team Liquid was betting on Team Liquid at the start of the split.
When we made our choices, they weren't as good as when they
exactly,
won the LCS.
All right, okay. So here's the rules. We have to finish the lemon by the end of the episode. God. We don't have to eat the, like, rind. I'm not eating that.
I don't even know if this is washed. Is this washed? Okay.
Okay, it's washed. What's the best way to do this? I'm just gonna chop it into like
a quarter. Take a bite.
I don't think there's a good way.
Just take a bite.
But it's awkward to even get in there, you know? And I'm gonna tell you, these plastic knives, you might think they're razor sharp. turns out they're not.
Really? I was gonna compliment its cutting ability, actually.
Mine was not really struggling? Getting in there, yeah.
Alright.
I'm just gonna keep chopping.
Who's first?
Alright, I'm just gonna go for this little corner here.
Oh! That is a lemon.
I got some seeds.
That's a lemon.
These have a lot of seeds in them.
Oh, that's ass.
It's not good.
Oh my God.
It's not good.
That's ass.
All right, let's move on for now.
I got to do a little quarter.
Crying already. He's getting worked up. Emotional lemon.
Oh, that one was even worse. Oh, it's in my nose.
Did you ever have warheads?
So sad.
Did you ever eat warheads when
I
you were
I hate
kid?
Warheads.
Really?
They're so bad.
Because I actually like them, and this kind of reminds me of the warhead flavor.
The only way to eat warheads is to like soak them in water.
You're a sick fuck. What the hell? You're good.
The aftertaste. It actually tastes just like a warhead.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's sour.
Gobi's like, you gonna finish that?
Yo, I got some extra if you need
it. This is like when we did an ice bath bet.
Oh God.
And it hurt. It was so cold. Actually, like, it didn't even feel cold. It was actually just painful. But Kobe was taking all these ice showers and stuff, falling. Apparently. So Kobe was into that bet. He's into lemons.
Only the end aftertaste tastes like warheads.
It was an inside job. Kobe set us up.
The bite?
He just wanted to eat a lemon. He's like, oh, sick.
You know he's like snacking
on
these every
day. Oh, man, I lost this bet. But on the inside, he's like, free lemon.
Free lemon. we've got some other... less happy news as people.
That's not very happy.
I'm having a good time.
It's
kind of funny.
Okay.
So people saw, it's almost a whole week ago because the news actually came out kind of like after we did our previous dive. But the VCS had this big match fixing scandal where 30-something of the players were found to be match-fixing. So it's this giant...
Or at least we're being investigated.
Investigating? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Allegedly.
Well, because some of them may not have done
right,
anything.
Right. We got to cover our bases. Yep. We've gotten into some legal trouble previously on the dive before when we were trying to do giveaways.
Had to go on the run.
Yeah, we had to go underground for a while. But VCS, so it was really sad news. But then it has actually turned kind of... I got to be careful with the wording here, but it's kind of, they're making the best of a bad situation, basically, because now we're getting a bunch of famous, Vietnamese pros unretiring to fill in all these spots that the players can't play for playoffs. And so my favorite, SOFM, who owns a team now in VCS, is like, all right, well, I guess I'm playing then. He's unretiring. And like, this is one of one of the jungle goats. Like, he played in LPL a bunch. He was at international tournaments all the time.
Hank Rengar goat.
His name, yeah, his name stands for Style of Me, and he really was such a unique jungler. He did a lot of tank builds, Tank Rengar. He did Tank Olaf, even. Yeah. He did Warmog's rushes. He did.
Dude, I feel like the Knights of Our Rush, when I first saw that, I was like, that's an SFM build mm-hmm. right there. Mm-hmm. So I mean, you might do that on anybody.
True. I think it's like, it is really cool he's coming back, but I feel like, just to talk about the actual like, whole match fixing thing for a bit, I just think it's so sad because it's hard to think how a league kind of comes back from that when so many players are implicated. I just feel like, how do you ever now watch the VCS without wondering if, you know, if there is match fixing, right? And that's the thing that's so sad when this stuff happens, is that it taints even the innocent players, right?
Yeah.
Because innocent players can have a bad game, but people are going to be like, ah, it could be match fixing. Like, you know, that game was too bad.
Everyone's taking bites out of it. This is like the whole, like,
there you go.
Oh, look at this.
Respect.
This one was completely one shot.
Oh, shit. Okay, I'll do it then. I'll do it.
There's so many seeds, dude.
Yeah, there are a lot of seeds.
I didn't know lemons had belly. This many seeds.
But yeah, the thing is, it's like, it really, really sucks for the league. It really, really sucks for the fans. That's gross.
The seeds. He's not lying.
I mean, there's an tactful way to not eat the seeds.
Just puking up seeds. This is making a mockery of this discussion.
All right, focus up.
I am focused up.
You can't say focus up after doing that.
I'm doing the distracting. He's got to focus faster.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing that I will say. I definitely don't approve of match fixing. I definitely, you know, don't approve of any sort of cheating. But I will say that there is a strong correlation. There's a reason that in leagues and in games where people don't make much money, this stuff happens way more. People either turn to boosting, or they turn to match fixing, or they turn to whatever to make extra money. In WoW, you know, it wasn't like match fixing. At least I never really heard of match fixing. But tons of pros boosted. And I know in League, tons of pros boosted, especially in the early days.
I had an account banned directly by Freak, actually, back in the day in the beginning of League. It was extremely commonplace. It was actually oddball. Not even just pros, just anyone who was high on the ladder, because that's where you got all your money from, and there was no money. Like, we were playing tournaments for keyboards, laptop, cooler, fans. And
$20 of RP.
Exactly, yeah. $20 of RP. And so it was like this unspoken but understood thing where, you know, that's how people made money.
I mean, WoW was obviously, at least in my position, it was more established than that because you could win money at tournaments. But still, it was like the salaries were nothing, right? You know, like when I first got a salary, I was getting $500 a month. I could make that in a night of boosting. Like, you know, so it's like I could make a month's salary in a couple hours of doing some boosting. So, like, I did boosting back in the day. Like, maybe not that proud of it, but
all right, statute of limitations is up. They're not going to come for you.
You know, that's yeah. And I think that, like, almost everyone that I knew from back in pros were doing it. And because the reality was, it was like the decision was, are you going to do boosting or something like that to make money? I also did other things. Like, I made skill cap videos, educational videos. Like, I did all kinds of stuff to try to make money, because otherwise you couldn't pay your rent. And you just didn't have any money. Like, you just didn't make anything, right? So I'm not saying this to justify, but I am saying that, you know, like, that there's a
the reality of the world.
Yeah, there's a reason that people will try to find other ways to make money if they don't feel like they're making enough. And, like, I don't know the exact salaries that they're making, and I've heard different things. Kobe and I also each heard different things. You know, like, someone was telling me that, oh, they're making, you know, like, less than like the, you know, average office worker and stuff. And so they felt like, oh, well, what's the point? So, like, may as well just make some money and then go do a regular job. But, like, I don't know the exact reality of their situation, and again, not approving of it, but this is the kind of stuff that leads people to do it.
Yeah, I remember back in, like, the very beginning of LCS, I was a sub on Complexity, and I got a 2-week ban for allegedly boosting.
Allegedly.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what they said just a long time ago. Who really knows what happened? It happens.
Yeah, it definitely happens, man. So, I mean, it's a shame, but hopefully they can, you know, keep things running, and hopefully that they can, like, find a way to actually move past this. Because the VCS is a great league, and the fans are super, super passionate. I remember hearing crazy stats about, like, there was something like, at one point, I remember hearing some stat about like 1 in 10 people in Vietnam played League or something. Like just like a ridiculous portion of their country just like played League. So it's really a shame, I think, for all the fans.
A lot of times after something like this, especially something as big as this, though, you can kind of feel confident that they're hyper vigilant on it because it was such a big, big deal and there was such a big fiasco. So, you know, sometimes that can be the turning point.
The catalyst and, for change.
Yeah. I will also say, too, a lot of our stories that we're talking about, the common thing is that they're really far in the past. And it was before a lot of these changes have come in structure for competitive League of Legends. And I feel like we've come such a long way. So I feel like they will be able to clean it up and kind of follow in those footsteps. Hopefully so, because Vietnam is one of the most exciting regions also to watch when we get to international events. I was so sad when we didn't get them for a while with COVID and, you know, another speed bump there. But I'm happy to see SOFM and a bunch of other retired players and pros coming back. And so actually the playoffs is going to be pretty hype regardless. You know, SOFM versus
Vietnam. You guys could get in there.
I mean, SOFM would blast me, so I think I'm in.
I don't know. Your Volibear is kind of.
Actually, true. You know, as long as they don't know to ban Volibear, maybe.
They probably won't for game number one.
Yeah.
Game number two onward, you're screwed. But you'd have one good game in the VCS with your Volibear.
Speaking of GOATs, along with SOFM, Impact, I mean. Impact, actually, he tweeted out himself. He's like, I'm the GOAT. And everyone's like, yep, favorite. That's true. But legitimately, he has been, like, he's climbing the ladder. For me, I know some people are already like, yeah, Impact is, you know, the actual GOAT overall over multiple roles. I would still say Doublelift and Bjergsen. I would say Doublelift. To me, I voted Doublelift number one, and then I had Bjergsen. I know some people, like, switched the order, and then they had it the other way around.
I did Doublelift, too.
I still have Doublelift up there. He still has more LCS titles than Impact, but Impact is tied with Bjergsen now with 6.
MVPs matter a lot too, though, because Bjergsen will have what, 3 MVPs, something like that.
There's a bunch of factors that go into it, you know, especially longevity as well. Impact also had obviously a bunch of success before coming to the LCS
and on 4 teams here, which is really cool.
I don't know.
I think if a player has good results on lots of different teams with lots of different teammates, especially if they play with teammates who didn't do as well before or after playing with that player, I think that's like a really big statement for that player's skill.
Yeah, I mean, he's elevating the people around him, right? So I think that's kind of inarguable, and I think that is maybe the most compelling argument for him is A, longevity, and B, he didn't just win with the same rosters with the same players. It was 4 different teams, all kinds of different players, including lots of young players. He just won with APA and Yon, who weren't super highly rated. He won on EG with Danny.
Dude, I'm doing it. I'm taking them out beforehand now.
How? There's nothing but cheese.
Just a big C.
It's kind of hard to get some of the deep ones, but.
Every time someone else has one, it makes me want to have it less. So I need to like eat it before you guys eat it, because I see your reaction.
We're legitimately
scraping them. You guys are way further along than me.
We're eating the whole fruit.
I'm like half.
Oh my! I hope that Mike picked up the slurp there, because that was that was a good slurp.
Yeah, that's something. All right. Well, one of us should probably talk.
Well, what were you saying?
NACL. Is having their finals today when we're recording this, so it will have actually already happened. But something that was actually really cool was that the only 2 LCS teams that kept their NACL teams were Team Liquid and FlyQuest, and those are the 2 teams that made the finals. And also, both teams had components from their academy league and from their NACL teams and stuff. So I thought that was really, really cool, especially on the TL side. Obviously, it was a really big story because Spawn was with their academy team. God, what's it been? 3-4 years now that he's been with Liquid. He won with Yon in Academy, has been, coaching Yon and with Team Liquid for a lot of years. Yon obviously came up through Team Liquid Academy. APA came up through Team Liquid Academy as well. And they're all part of this, winning split for them. And I think it's especially even more cool on the TL side, because they tried to win, like, let's get Hansama, let's get Summit, let's get Alfari, like, let's get these guys that are kind of like these big name people and try to play around them. Not that they don't have big names, because they do have Core and Impact and whatnot, like, those are still really big names. But it felt like they tried a different way, and people were like, okay, TL's now in like the budget era. They're not really trying to like, you know, just buy a championship anymore, and this is how they actually get one after all these years of not being able to win since Doublelift. So I thought that was really cool. And for FlyQuest as well, they have Masu, who came up for their from the Academy squad. So I do think it's kind of interesting that it just shows there's still like a lot of benefit to having that, I think, for your team. And also some of these teams, if you do have a really good Academy roster, you can get some pretty good value from practice.
Yeah, I think that is absolutely true. Academy is kind of like it's a little double edged in a way. I think. Wow.
Okay.
He gave it to me and told me to open it.
Yeah, and he did as he was told.
Yeah.
So I think it's a little double edged sword, and it totally depends how you go about it. Because I think it can be really beneficial for a team if you have a competitive Academy roster that, like, you know, buys into the system with the LCS team, and like, you know, you get really good practice against one another. I've also seen situations where it's kind of like
you've had the bad end of it.
I think there's a bad version of it too, where it's like, you know, every time you practice against the Academy team, they're like, I don't know, just egoing, for lack of a better word. They're just constantly trying to, like, you know, prove they're better, like, than the LCS team, but not in like a, you know, we outplayed you way. It's just like, yeah, I'm going to all in you every matchup, every game kind of way. And so I think it can go either way, but it does seem like, you know, it's been working for them. I think having a like scrim partner that can do third blocks and be like, okay, we want to try practicing this stuff. Can you guys pick this? Yeah, exactly. You know, you can go into 2v2s, be like, okay, you know, pick Senna Nautilus and we're just going to like workshop it. We're going to try all these different matchups against it, and we're just going to, like, okay, let's get level 3 and try and all in here, see who wins, that kind of stuff. That can be really valuable. So I think it definitely can be super good for teams.
Yeah. We've talked about this topic a lot because this story, similar story, has been true for a lot of our recently successful teams. You know, EG and Energy.
EG was definitely the blueprint,
as well in their runs. And like I pointed out last time, I just think that you deserve even more credit as an org when it wasn't an easy ride and you were riding hype with them. You know, it's one thing when all the fans love you and it's like instant success, and then you're like, oh my God, they're sticking with this rookie. Yeah, well, everyone loved you for it immediately the whole time. That was not the case with Yan and APA. Lots of fans were telling them, get rid of them. You know, how can you win with these carries on your team? Like, what are you doing building around this? So I think they deserve a lot of credit for not collapsing to that. And I know Spawn specifically, talking to him so often, like, that was one thing he had to battle for a lot, and work through it and work through the improvement. So I think big congratulations there. Maybe they'll win an award later in the show.
Oh, who knows? Could happen.
Maybe.
There's also there, even during this split, you know, there was a lot of rumors about, like, at one point I heard a lot of people saying, oh, Roamer was going to be maybe coming in and replacing APA and stuff. But obviously it did pay off, right? They stuck with him. They got the title. And it's a pretty incredible story. Finals, obviously, just happened. TL won. Spoilers. If you haven't watched it, why are you watching the dive? That's the finals recap. Come on. Get your stuff together. They won 3-1. I would say I'm not, like, blown away that they won, because I did predict FlyQuest, but I was really surprised at how one-sided it felt. Yeah, FlyQuest got one game, but there was one competitive game out of the four. It felt like TL kind of stomped them in all three of their wins, and then the FlyQuest win was kind of back and forth and could have gone either way. It's kind of like my recollection.
It's been so crazy just to watch this TL team, especially APA, because, you know, he's had a lot of criticism about him. I remember coming into this split, people were saying, like, hey, maybe you don't want, like, your two NA players to be, like, your carries on a team. There was a lot of criticism there. Like, APA's been getting heavily criticized. I mean, I've criticized him on the show, you know, like, watching some of his earlier performances. It's like, it was pretty shaky, but absolutely deserves all the credit he's been getting for playoffs. Like, he had, like, the most crazy playoff run ever. Like, he looked so solid. And even just seeing the evolution over a few weeks of playing against Jensen, I remember when the whole beef first started, when they met in the upper bracket, you know, APA was yapping at Jensen. Jensen's like, oh, I'm just like, how can this bad player be saying this to me? And then they kind of beefed a bit. And then somehow when finals comes around, APA is Jensen's father. Like, he's just beating him with blind picks and forcing Jensen onto Annie. I don't know how that happened. It felt really reminiscent of, like, you know, the Caps versus Jensen, like, back to Lissandra thing, where Jensen's just, like, trying to pick some, like, you know, solid neutralizing champ because he doesn't want to, like, you know, opt into the harder matchups. I don't know why, but, like, that's really how it looked, and it was just such a crazy turn of events.
I think fair is fair. Like, we need to talk about the champion pool the other way around, because APA obviously is always getting flamed for, you know, shallow champion pool and these specific champs. But Jensen has always kind of had this where it hasn't really been a problem, but he's preferred very specific champions and styles of champions, and like, or the Orianna Hui type. And when TL started putting pressure on that, and then maybe it was team choice, and they're like, hey, we need Annie, we need these snap engages if we're going to try and, you know, beat Team Liquid in the early games, like, we're going to need engage from you, Jensen. But that turned into a huge problem to be countered immediately by the Aurelion Soul guy, like Aurelion Soul one trick, and then having like supreme confidence to play side lanes as Aurelion Soul, to lock up the Tivers every single time, really good ultimates from him too. It was a complete role reversal.
Did you guys think it was that Jensen was like, I can't beat this guy, I gotta play Annie? Because I thought it was
I
thought it was for team. Yeah, like,
yeah. I mean, I don't think Jensen was like shaking his boots against APA by any means, but
I just felt like the way you were phrasing it at the start felt like,
he didn't
have an answer, so he had to go Annie. I felt like, oh, he went Annie because they thought maybe inspired carry is the way to win, or because inspired is like, oh, like, set me up and I'll carry, or, you know.
But they were also double banning and
yeah,
and when they were on red side, they triple banned him. Triple banned mid lane.
It was probably Jensen.
Oh, both. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was probably a team thing. I don't think Jensen was sitting there being like, I can't beat this guy. Give me any. I just need to be able to Q farm, bro. I don't think that was the case at all. But I mean, regardless of reasoning, he was playing Annie, which is a champion that's like, you know, I don't think you're bullying any lane as Annie, right? Like,
yeah, maybe some like melee assassin or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but you know, when APA's
hack
helps,
you do the chaser.
Yeah.
Yep. When APA's picking like Taliyah blind, and then you're picking Annie into it, it just seems like, you know, you're not sticking with the game plan of like, you know, oh, I think I'm just a better laner than this guy, I'm gonna stomp him kind of deal.
Yeah.
You're opting into like, okay, I'm gonna play for team. Which, you know, you're right. There are multiple reasons why you could do it. You could be like, you know, oh, I don't think he's good enough to punish me, I can get away with this Annie.
Yep.
Or just like, you know, maybe I can't punish him, so I'm just going to go something solid. But definitely how it looked, and APA just really got to do what he wanted that series. Like, I don't know. It felt like he had some plot armor going into it. He's like, you know, got the – I remember, what was it? Was it the final game when Jensen got two kills early off the jungle invade,
mm-hmm.
and then APA ended up solo killing him right afterwards by getting like the shove into his turret,
yep.
and then making him tank with the E. So just really outplaying Jensen it a lot of turns.
I mean, especially in the wins, he had one death across the three wins. He did die five times in their loss. Fair enough. But yeah, I mean, he was deathless in the first Taliyah game. Had the one death on the other Taliyah game, which I think was the invade game, right, where they got the two kills.
Yeah,
I think that was his only death that game, if I recall correctly. And then he was deathless on the ASOL as well. And yeah, I mean, we talked about this on the last dive, and you pointed out fairly that, hey, a lot of his champions are set up well to play inside lane, but I do think TL just plays the macro game really, really well. And I think they outplayed C9 as far as how they played the map pretty heavily. And this time I didn't expect them to be able to do that against FlyQuest, but I thought they outplayed FlyQuest pretty heavily as well. And it felt like one of the things that Inspired even talked about it on Pros, I think, but just like being able to kill these people in side lanes, and APA was even calling him out in all chat for it or whatever. Like, I don't know what he called him, but something like, oh, like side lane cheeser. But like, you know, like they weren't really dying to him in side lanes, and it felt like as a result they were really struggling. And FlyQuest was the one that felt like we're overgrouping and trying to force and trying to make things happen. And TL's just like, all right, well, I'll just take this tier two. Okay, we'll just take this tier one. We'll just like chip away and get these incremental advantages. And they played it really, really well. I mean, there's definitely holes in their game. There's things that you're going to question if you're talking then ahead about international. But they looked really, really solid. And I think that they should be really proud of how they played.
Yeah, especially the macro and the split push. Mm-hmm. I was very happy to see that from Team Liquid, because Spawn talks a lot about the steps of the game,
yep,
and following kind of the efficient pathway through. I feel like they did that in all of their games. Even the one where FlyQuest drafted like the skirmishing and FlyQuest ended up getting the win, and they were forcing a lot more plays and winning a lot more of the early fights. It still felt like the focus on the game plan was there. So definitely a fun finals.
And Impact was crazy. He wanted to talk about someone being someone's father. Impact was Bobo's father.
Oh my, yeah, it was. I really like Impact's interview afterwards too, when he was just saying like, yeah, I don't know, Whipple was just a choke artist. He, I think he said like, I went for a fingers check, which I guess is, you know, just hands like going, yeah, hands check, like, you know, I'm just going for a trade against him. And then instead of like trying to like dodge his stuff and outplay, he just started backing up. So Impact's like, oh, it's one of those games. Like, this guy's just scared. So
he slapped him with the Cassante into the Urgot. He slapped him with the Cassante into the Olaf, I think, even.
Yeah, yeah. Impact even said that. He said, because I had always thought Olaf's a really good pick into Cassante because, you know, like, you can't ult him. He just kind of kills you. And Impact's like, yeah, it's not a good matchup, but, like, this guy's playing bad. I'll beat him.
And I was going to say, on your point about the fingers check, that those criticisms of just backing up when you come for a hands check is the same criticisms that Bwipo was laying on Fudge.
Yeah, it's so true, actually.
After their Cloud9 matchup, I feel like when you were phrasing that, that was the exact thing that he was saying about Fudge. And he was like, oh, yeah, this guy just backs up and gives me everything.
It's so easy to bluff him, yeah. That was the whole NPC thing, where he's like, oh, he's just an NPC. Like, you just walk forward, he just walks back.
This time, Whipple was the NPC, I guess. I mean, it can happen. There can be a lot of reasons for it. Maybe it's like jungle pressure can definitely play a role in that. It's like, you know, you feel like you're being baited, so you back up. But yeah, I mean, I think the best players, the best way to play is like you're just constantly trading with them, right? Like you want to win your lane, you want to pressure. I remember.
Especially when you can do that across the whole map, right? Like, those are the absolute best teams in the world. Those are the teams that win at Worlds. It's like all three lanes are trading and winning trades, and the jungler can't be everywhere at once. You can only bail out one lane.
Yeah, I remember Cloud Templar. I don't know if it was MSI or Worlds or something, but he had some like game review of Cloud9, and it was translated and put on Reddit, and I thought it was really cool. And he basically talked about that concept of, like, you know, like when someone is kind of like, you know, I don't know how he phrased it, but, like, you know, basically, like, challenging you in lane. Like, you have to be able to, like, match them. You can't just back up all the time.
When you back up, you lose something.
Yeah, yeah. So he was talking about that and saying how, like, he felt like at that international tournament, Fudge wasn't really doing that. He was kind of, like, just folding against the pressure instead of matching it. And so, yeah, I mean, that can happen for a variety of reasons. Either you don't think you can beat him in trades, you're worried about the jungler. And that did seem to be what happened.
I mean, it's one of the things that this has been something that people have talked about for years with LPL, but still sometimes you see the comments about, like, LPL, like, you know, they're just like the no-brain fight region or whatever, that kind of thing. But talking to some LPL coaches and whatnot over the years, it's like their reasoning was always that it's like there's always something to fight over, right? There's like forcing cooldowns out before a dragon fight. You know, if you think you're in an advantageous position, you take the fight to get some sort of incremental advantage, whether it's kill goal, whether it's, you know, jungle camps, whether it's forcing out cooldowns before a major objective, whatever it is, like, there is always something to fight over if you feel that you are in a good position or if you feel that you can, like, outplay your opponents. And I do think that that's, like, really, really important. And it's a part of League that is kind of, like, subtle sometimes, right? Like, sometimes you see these people fighting and it's like, okay, well, you don't really see an obvious reason why, but hey, if you have confidence that you're always going to win these skirmishes, that you have better hands, that you have better coordination, every time you take a fight, it's, like, kind of increasing your odds you're going to win the game oftentimes.
Yeah. It's funny because those blanket statements have been used both ways.
Yeah.
And in each case, it's like people just really want to be able to throw this blanket statement of, oh, yeah, they're always, you know, all hands, no brains, and always fighting. And then, like, the counter of, yeah, there's always a cool. No, some of these plays, there's no meaningful cooldown right there. Yep. There is, like, you know, that is some MLXG stuff where it's like you have amazing play and then sometimes there's actually.
But that's League, right? Like, yeah. It's kind of shades of gray in that it's like there's no clear way or right way to always play the game, and everyone has such different views on how to do it. And, like, and teams that can have wildly different approaches to the game can both be, like, world champions and stuff, which I think is so cool.
Yeah. All right. Time for some awards, fellas. Let's do a lemon check here. What do we got going on?
You guys are way done. You guys are.
Like, I am straight cleaning these things.
Okay, well, that's pretty hardcore. I count. This.
I've got to finish off this last part a little bit, but it's pretty. Yeah. Pretty good.
You guys got the juices out.
I got most of the flesh. I didn't get the middle part, the little stringy parts. I'm not that hardcore.
All right. Well, let's get into our awards then. Number one of the divies. Azale, this is one that you assigned. I'm going to read the name. I have some qualms with the name. Took off the glasses and let down their hair.
It's like
award.
The rom-com, you know, like where it's like, oh my God, it's like ugly girl. Like, dude, no one would ever love her. And then she takes off her glasses and just lets down her hair. And I'm gonna be like, oh my God, she's the most beautiful person ever.
I contest that you need to take off glasses. Glasses, I think, are beautiful.
I agree.
I think some people Good look point, Kobe. Better with glasses.
True.
Namely us.
Yeah.
Cheers I'm to with that.
Unbiased. Cheers. Unbiased.
So I'm just making fun of the stupid rom-com stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. I think the award should be put on your glasses.
Yeah. And shave your head.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Let's turn the tables here. The winner for our Glow Up Award with two votes, uncontested, is Quid for the turnaround. Congratulations, Quid.
This one is, I don't think there's anyone else that could really contest him from, you know, straight up just from being someone who it was debatable if he should even have a spot. People were calling for him to be kicked off the team to you won MVP of the friggin' league. Like, that is crazy, the level of improvement he had. He was such a difference maker for 100 Thieves and a lot of their wins. You know, was really able to step up and have big plays in big moments. And again, is another great example of how you can't just write people off with like one split, or especially young players who are just coming in. And like, you know, people are so quick to write them off as just garbage if you have one bad split, one bad week, whatever. And this is an example where, you know, 100 Thieves stuck with him and it paid off hugely. And I'm really excited to see, you know, where he can go if he can kind of continue this improvement.
Yeah, I would say for most of the split, I think Quid is the only one who could be in the conversation. I think APA also, though, gets an honorable mention because, like, he definitely let down his hair in playoffs. Like, that was so crazy, actually.
Definitely shaved his head, put on those glasses.
Because if you said before playoffs, it's going to be like, yeah, TL's going to win and APA is going to just, like,
the finals MVP.
Yeah, he's just going to carry the team. I think everyone would think you were crazy.
Yeah.
But that's absolutely what happened. Huge glow up for him there. And yeah, I mean, I think Quid gets the award, but, you know, he'd probably be runner-up.
All right. Next award here, the Didn't Get What You Paid For award. This one's going to go to Jack from Cloud9. Congratulations.
He paid for media, so he got a good
dive rep. That was a good deal.
I abstained from this vote. Yeah, I'm just out there.
He paid for the super team, did not get the super brand, you know?
I mean, yeah, they didn't win. To me, this one is contested because you're kind of thinking about it as like, who was so good last year and then this year, big flops. I feel like along with them, NRG was contesting for a big flop.
Yeah.
But NRG didn't make like
this was
big
the big
purchases.
Signings, though. Yeah. This is like JoJo, everyone wants him. Jack got him. Vulcan's the big signing. They keep Berserker. There was all those rumors that he was going to leave. Because they're going to dominate, and it just didn't happen. And because of you, Jack, no, not because of you at all, but we're eating lemons, so.
So yeah, I'm not eating lemons because of you, Jack, so that's true. I got no problem with
that. No qualms. No yeah.
Play of the split. To me, for sure, as soon as I saw the inspired Lee Sin kick where he jumps over the wall twice and then gets Berserker, and this is after he already had a super sick Lee Sin kick as well.
Playoffs, yep.
Yeah, to me, that inspired Lee Sin, that deserves to play the split.
Yeah, this was crazy, and he got multiple kicks back on him, like in that game. That was, you know, Berserker starting up 5-0, I believe it was, and in that game, I was when Berserker got all those early kills, I was like, okay, Cloud9 are gonna get one. Like, this is the game you've seen Berserker win so many times, where he gets in that position, he's on a comfort pick with the Zeri. Monster team fighter. Surely Cloud9 are going to be able to actually pull this game back, and then maybe we'll see what happens with the rest of the series. But Inspired quickly shut that down. You know, the first major fight they had after he had 5 kills, he gets both his summoners and kills him, you know, with the kickback. He caught him again by the base when they were already way ahead. But Inspired, I thought, was just kind of going next level in that game.
Yeah, for absolutely. I think great Lee Sin game. We've seen a lot of good Lee Sin plays, but that's probably got to be the most impressive one in the split.
Yeah, that one was really
especially cool. Because if he doesn't make those plays, they lose. So not only did it look super cool, but it was also very necessary. Congratulations.
Also, you guys should let us know what you think the awards should be, your favorite plays of the split, and for all these different categories, because these are ones that we came up with, that we remembered, stood out to us. But
especially if
so
you super disagree with one of our takes, you should get it in there in the comments. Mm. Those ones always get lots of upvotes.
There you go.
I mean, there were a lot of good plays to split, and it's not always easy to remember all of them, right? Because exactly. It's like, you know, there's so many games, so many cool things happening. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you guys remember a better one, then let us
Speaking
know.
Of which, best game of the split.
You want to announce this one, Medios?
Yep. For this one, we're going to give it to 100 Thieves versus Energy Game 4. This was actually the dive cast in playoffs.
Cast of the split as well.
Cast of the split, absolutely.
No bias.
Yeah, this was the game where...
panel of experts that vote on these.
Yeah, so 100 Thieves was up 2-1. Energy back up against the wall. Game was going pretty bad. And Contracts, I think he got like 2 Baron steals that game. They, like, 100 Thieves was, like, I think they killed a Nexus turret or something. Like, it was just such an insane game all over the place. It fell over for Energy so many times. And, like, Energy had looked kind of defeated as well in this series. But they just rallied. They brought it back. And there were just so many good plays that happened this game. I remember 100 Thieves had, like, for the entire game, pretty much, they were just avoiding all of Palafox's Nico ults. Like, they were just playing incredible. I feel like there was really good plays on both sides. And, yeah, it was just so fun to watch. That's one that stuck out to me.
I clearly remember the ending sequence, which was Energy are so far behind, but 100 Thieves are on Baron. So they're like, you know what? We're going to lose if we don't go for it. And so Contracts goes on the Lee Sin. He had a lot of Baron steals. This one was his Lee Sin one. They steal Baron. Sniper went to teleport bottom lane to try and end the game. He goes for the inhibitor, but he stays too long. So after the Baron steal, the rest of Energy then come back. They catch Sniper, and then Palafox hits that one big Nico ultimate. Like you were saying, they were avoiding all of them so well the whole game until this point. And then he catches them, and Energy win off of that. And it's another, what is basically a classic for the non-rational gamers, these big comeback moments. I definitely agree with that one, and that one's going to be the game that wins the award. I voted for, actually, funnily enough, a different 100 Thieves versus Energy game.
They had some really fun ones.
It was from the regular season. These two teams had really banger games, but from the regular season, if you remember at the very end, when 100 Thieves picked the Shaco game, Shaco with Veigar mid, it was the first time that Quid used the Veigar, even though he ended up using it a bunch of times after that. I thought this game was so funny because it had really fun picks, and then it also had Sniper on Olaf 1v3 moment in top lane, and it was also the one where he then like dances on them in the camera afterwards during the 1v3. I just had so much fun casting that
game. Was a great game too.
His celebrations were a lot of fun. There was honestly a lot of really fun ones this split. Some of the JoJo Nico games kind of stood out to me, where like there was a Nico game in a loss, I can't remember the exact game, where he just kept having these crazy ultimates over and over and over, and it was just one of those games where it's like one person is really trying to claw back the game, and I have another one in my mind.
You identified with him. You're like, oh, my team is inting
That's
me.
That's
I'm
me.
JoJo. I'm no trying
help.
To win.
I get it. I'm with you, JoJo. We're this, you know, just like me. I also thought, God, what was the game? I'm gonna have to look this one up. But there was a lot of really, really good games.
All right, we can do the next award while you look it up. Then Rookie of the Split, because technically the LCS award is Rookie of the Year. So we on the dive feel like there should be Rookie of the Split
awards. Maybe, you know, very controversial.
Uh-huh. Yeah. There are a ton of rookies out here really vying for it. Some good performances. You know, some of the bottom lane ones, good try, but this is a unanimous one, I believe, with the votes. Do you want to announce the winner, Medios?
Yep. We are going to give this one to General Sniper from 100 Thieves.
Can't believe it.
You know, massive debut for him. There was a lot of hype coming out of, like, you know, the Amateur League, the Challenger League, even just solo queue. He's, like, been Challenger since he was 13 or something. Following in the footsteps of his brother, Viper. So definitely when he came in to the league, his first Riven game wasn't too special.
It was a win.
It was a win. Still wasn't too special. It made me a little hesitant on him. I was thinking, like, you know, I'm going to need to see a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously he showed up in a huge way for his team. He had a lot of really standout games, just super, super good at laning. Pretty much every single top laner, for, like Impact, Bwipo, everyone I heard talk about him had good things to say. Very good at winning lane,
mm-hmm.
especially like pretty much everyone was saying if you give him a winning matchup, he will get so much out of it, probably more than any other player, which is crazy to say for someone who's that new to the league.
Solo kill leader of the league as well.
Yeah, he's been solo killing everybody, every game almost.
In one weekend, he got 7, I believe it was.
I mean, that's just unreal stats for someone who's just coming into the league, I think. And his team fighting, too. His team fighting, like the way he spaced, the way he created pressure was so impressive. That's stuff that, you know, players can go their whole career without ever really learning how to do that so proficiently. Yeah. So the fact that we saw that from his very first split, I think, you know, he's got a promising career ahead of him. I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does next.
Yeah, it's exciting. I also even just think, you know, that the way that the top laners were talking about him changed wildly from the beginning of the split to the end. Because I felt like at the beginning, people weren't really giving him much credit. You know, I heard like a lot of different top laners talking about it. And Bwipo did an interview. And we had Licorice on. We were asking him about it. Impact was talking about it. Like, this guy's not really special. He's not that good. You know, like, he's not going to do much. I don't really get the hype. You know, this kind of thing. And by the end of the split, I felt like it changed to, okay, he's a really good laner, but he's still not good at these other things, right? And that's the thing that's kind of exciting for me, is that it's like, he did so well, but he has such clear areas for improvement, right? A lot of the top laners talk about, okay, he doesn't know how to lose gracefully now. Like, he's not as good at understanding where the enemy jungler is and, like, you know, when to back off and these types of things. So you can exploit him in these specific ways. But the fact that he had those clear weaknesses and still had so many big strengths, I think, is one of the things that made it really exciting for me.
You made me remember a interview or a video that we had with Bwipo at the very beginning of the year, where they're talking about the rookies, and because the question pertains to Masu and Bwipo really wants Masu to get Rookie of the Year, Bwipo is like, my one main goal for this year is that I make sure that Sniper does not win Rookie of the Year. And technically,
this hasn't yet.
He hasn't won it yet. I mean, but I don't. He's got some work to do, though.
He's halfway there.
Some would say the Dive Rookie of the Split Award is the more prestigious of the two.
But it just made me remember that and made it even more funny to like phrase it as like, my one goal, you know, I got to make sure that Sniper doesn't get it so Masu can get it. You know, it's a wholesome thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Masu. Honorable mention, though, like,
yep, for sure.
He's had a really good split for just starting out. I think that there were a lot of questions about FlyQuest bot lane. Everyone was pretty sure their top side was going to be good. But, you know, he's looked good. He had some good games where he carried. He didn't really have many games where he just ran it down or anything. And I think AD carry is a role where a lot of the time you're very much just the recipient of what your team's doing. You know, they'll set you up to succeed, or sometimes they don't at all and you just flop. But, you know, I was pretty impressed with what I saw.
Yeah.
Especially handling a lot of the pressures of playoff best of series, you know, going the distance, 5 games in the early one and making it all the way through 2 finals. So, yeah, really good job, especially in your rookie year.
Absolutely. Next award here is for the best out-of-game performance, you know, entertaining comment, content, interviews, etc. And this one was a split vote, but it's going to go to Bwipo. Congratulations, Bwipo. He was really good all year long, from, you know, the sniper trash talk at the very beginning to him going crazy on pros and stuff. Like, his interviews are great. His player cam reactions are great. Like, he's just so fun to have in the league because he's a really good player. He talks his shit. He'll tell you exactly what he thinks, you know, whether it's you know, like PC or cool to say or whatever. He just says what he thinks. And that makes him so fun to listen to, so fun to watch. You know, whether you agree or disagree, it's like you're going to cheer for him to lose, you're going to cheer for him to win. It's just great to have him in the league. And I find him, like, such an infectious personality. He's just so fun to kind of have in the LCS.
Yeah, especially some of the facial reactions. Like, some of the videos we had leading into finals, he's got this maniacal grin on his face while he knows he's saying some inflammatory stuff right beforehand, and it adds so much you know, passion for people, like you're saying, who are either on his side or against him. Either way, it's getting more people really invested in it. I was the dissenting vote, but it's funny because my vote for Jan was also pushed.
Snuck in at the last moment.
It was pushed up because of Jan's reaction to Bwipo and Inspired and all the content that they had been doing. And Jan's interview, the entire Team Liquid interview after they won on stage, you really should go back and look because that thing had everything. It was wholesome and emotional at the beginning with Umpty crying and teammates lifting him up and Umpty talking about his whole long career in the LCK where he didn't achieve anything and everyone was always flaming him and counting him out. And he's like, I'm the LCS GOAT jungle now. And he's the winner. And it was such a wholesome moment, and then it transitioned into the Impact, you know, gloating, and then Jan calling out, I just didn't want to lose to this FlyQuest jungle top because they're talking so much shit all the time. It's unbearable. And he's like, I wanted to make them lose more than I wanted to win even. And I was like, oh my God. And then Core JJ came in with the clap over it, and he's like, picking up APA, and he's like, if you want to track trash, you have to be as good as this guy. After the ups and downs, I was like, oh my goodness, that on stage after they won.
Unpowered by spite.
That was funny. I didn't expect that at all.
I do want to say, though, my vote was more than just that, because this whole year, Jan has actually been doing a lot of content. TL, you should check out their channel, especially now that they've won, but they were putting out content all year, and Jan, he was spicy on Pros as well. Speaking of the Pros podcast, that
he was such an instigator. Yeah, on that Pros episode
that we had with him. Really, like, funny. So he was. He's been doing his part, I guess, to, you know, create some of these rivalries and stuff for quite a while.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun. On to the next award. This one goes to the best trash talker of the split, and we had a lot of them, but it came down to one big moment that really reigned supreme over them all. And it was the Jensen tweet about
so
APA.
Good.
So if you guys missed this tweet, and I think we might have an image of it, but if not, you can look it up. TL put out some content where it's, could a gold player survive in the LCS? And they had one of their team managers or whoever it was, playing in one of their scrims or whatever, you know, against between their academy and their LCS team, and seeing, okay, can a gold player survive in an LCS? And then Jensen Quo tweets this after they beat APA, and just says, like, I guess not. And it's just like, and you're just like, oh my God. Like, not only did he get his ass, he got his ass with their content.
That was
And it
so
was
good.
Just like, that was a burn. That was so good, man.
And the timing was perfect because that piece of content just came out that week. And then on the weekend, they played FlyQuest, and Jensen gets to use it, and you're just like, whoa, that is the best single piece of trash talk. Obviously, there were others that trash talked more volume, but I think
Jensen also went crazy in the postgame interview against their FlyQuest one against APA.
True. I just think that that individual piece of trash talk was the best because it's not something you can force.
It's the holy grail of trash talk.
The timing worked out. The circumstances worked out. Mm-hmm. You're using their own content against them. It was...
I mean, it's funny. Them. I feel like the part of trash talk that makes it so awesome is it should be funny, right? Like,
not mean, funny.
Yeah, some people, when they trash talk, it's like you're just trying to hurt the other person. You're saying things that are like just trying to like make them feel bad. And it's like, that's not really what it's about, yo. Like, it's got to be funny. Like, like, you got to be able to laugh at it. Like, yeah, if you're on the receiving end, like, it probably is going to sting a little bit, but you're not, like, it's not like a personal attack. And I think it was such a good job of it.
Yeah,
definitely, just so clever, so witty.
This is actually a really good topic that you hit on, though, because especially with so much more trash talk happening, there definitely is a line that you draw between the personal attacks and like being vindictive with it and just saying mean things. Whereas the trash talk that is good are jokes, you know, they're making a lot of times they're making fun of the situation, like something that happened organically, like this piece of content, and then boom, you get to pair it with the results. Or like, you know, when Bwipo wasn't looking at his screen and then APA gets to go, you know, after the solo kill, look at your screen type of deal. Like, that's a funny situation that you're able to capitalize on. He's not like, you suck, you're an idiot, you're dumb and ugly, right?
True, he didn't say that. No, I agree. The Jensen thing was absolutely hilarious. There was a lot of good banter. And for me, the line is always just like, you don't attack the person, you attack the play or the whatever, right? Like, if you want to dunk on someone's play, I think that's all above board. All right, we got the next one here. This one is for the most underrated player. What do you think, BDS?
It's got to be APA. I mean, the entire split, people just weren't taking him seriously. Like, I don't think any mid truly respected him, and we saw that with, you know, the stats. Like, he wins almost all of his games on Ziggs and Aesol, and he got Ziggs and Aesol every game, and nobody else is playing these champs that people are thinking, like, ah, they're just his noob champs. Like I don't care if he gets them. I'm gonna outplay him anyway. And I think almost nobody was really respecting him. But, you know, obviously they should have been, because he showed up in a massive way. Carried his team through the finals. And, yeah, I mean, I don't really know who else could
vote for that. I feel like, for sure, this one is APA, because I also underrated him. You know, from the regular season, there was this big improvement, and that comes from hard work, and he has always been one of these big grinders. Everyone always focuses on him being the big trash talker, but he's also one that puts in the most hours. When we were doing Champions Q, they were all of Team Liquid, basically, were in there for the entire time. They were the first ones to arrive, last ones to leave, grinding Champions Q, grinding solo Q, you know, going to Korea, really putting in the work. And making the improvements real.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was going to get absolutely clapped by JoJo. I thought he was going to get absolutely clapped by Jensen. At the end of the day, you know, he had the last laugh. Jensen beat him in the first series, but he dominated him in second. He did way more than JoJo when they played. You know, those were guys that I thought would absolutely destroy him. I was wrong. I think pretty much everyone was kind of wrong about this guy, and I think people are going to have to reevaluate how they actually look at him and think about him as a player.
I like how at the end as well, he was even using himself as part of the trash talk, where he was like, what? You're going to lose to APA mid? And that shows, you know, you're okay with, you know, using some of the stuff that was slung at you.
That was good, because didn't Jensen say, like, I'm playing against APA in the finals or something like that? Yeah. And he's like, oh, you're losing to APA in the finals.
Like, how embarrassing for you
that's good.
To lose to me. I just thought, yeah.
That was really funny. Next one here is most overrated player of the split. It's a little bit harsh, but I think it has to go to Berserker, man. Like, he got second team All-Pro. I felt like he didn't really do much of anything this split. I didn't think he deserved the All-Pro award. I don't think he showed up in playoffs. I think he's a great player, but this was not his split at all. And for the expectations that were, you know, kind of put upon him, it's like there was so much talk about, this is the weakest that LCS bot lanes have ever been. This is such an easy field of bot laners. It's all these rookies. Look at all the top teams. The only good bot laner is supposed to be Berserker amongst these top teams. You look at FlyQuest, it's rookie bot lanes. You look at 100 Thieves, Meech, what's he going to do? You look at all these teams, TL as well, Yon, there was a lot of criticism thrown towards him. And this was supposed to be the split where it was like Berserker is just like head and shoulders above everyone. He got outclassed by pretty much all these guys who were supposed to be these nobodies and stuff and weren't supposed to be, you know, on that level. And I think at the end of the day, it's got to be him.
Yeah, I mean, these awards are always hard to give, but kind of have to, because like you're saying, he was rated so highly. And I think he kind of earned that rating over his career and over his time here in NA, but this split was definitely not it.
I didn't vote on this one. I think, like, it's hard to disagree with, I suppose, but I think all of C9, like, it just didn't really come together for them in spring. I think that, you know, what is the expression? Like, they were less than the sum of their parts kind of deal. Like, I think they're all good players, but just the way that they meshed didn't really work out. So, you know, I think some will be better.
I mean,
but
it's
definitely didn't. I don't think any of them looked like their best selves.
Exactly. These are always painful ones to give, but gotta give it out. Now, do you want to do this one? Because this is one where I abstained actually from the next one.
I can say this one. This was for the Elo Hell Award. I voted for B-Boy, and Medios had a different approach. I thought B-Boy was just so standout. On a team that was, you know, not a top team, that was not actually performing that well around him. And I think that the league was really competitive this year, but it's like, for a player to actually get first team All-Pro on a bottom team is so rare. And I think you have to be such a standout player to do that. I think it's so hard to actually look amazing, especially as an AD carry on a bottom team. And it's really, really rare, I think, especially for that role, for people to be really hyping up, you know, an AD carry who's on a bottom team. Because it's like, people always say that it's like, you're kind of just a product of your team. You're just cleaning up kills. You know, you're kind of this, you know, person who's just following up on everything else. So I was just so impressed by how he played. And I thought he, to me, this is less flame of his teammates and more just like, I thought he really stood out on a bottom team, which I think is incredibly hard to do.
Yeah, I just couldn't do that one because I was like, Insanity put in so much work. So many games were about Insanity for this team. To the
I
point
felt like
where
way less this year, though.
His
Huey games were good. His Huey games were good.
He had a lot of them, and I was like, I can't give that one here.
But
yeah, for me, I actually said Olay from Immortals. I think that being a support player on a struggling team is like, it's hard to look good. You're probably just going to feed your brains out most of the time. But I think Olay had so many really good games. I think, you know, when he was on Hook Champs, like, he had like a really good blitz game, I remember.
His bard game was really good.
I mean, his bard games were insane. Yeah. Like, he had several bard games where it felt like he was just legit solo carrying the entire game. Remember there was like the one against C9 where he kept ulting JoJo. I think it's just like before people realized that Trist can't actually buffer the bard ult.
Yep.
But just every time he was on bard, he just looked so good. And being able to carry a struggling team from the support position, I think, is just so hard to do. And also another part of it is that even from the top teams, there's been a lot of respect for Immortals scrims. Like, throughout the split, everyone said, like, yeah, you know, Immortals plays really well in scrims. And, you know, I think Olay is a big part of that. Like, being support, you're kind of like someone who sets the pace for the game. You know, you're controlling vision. You're gathering information for your team. You're deciding where you want to go. So I think Olay looked really good. And, yeah, you know. Maybe next will be better for him.
All right. This is a legacy dive award that we always give out. And usually, if you're used to watching the divies, then you'll know that we interview the pros and we ask the pros, who is the pro who is most deserving of an award? And then we give them an award for that. We didn't get, we didn't have the resources to be able to get those interviews this time around. So here's what we're going to do. For the Pro Most Deserving of an Award, we're going to give our votes. And then we want you in the comments to put who you think is the pro who is most deserving of an award. You don't need to explain why. That is the whole point of this award. You are not going to be held responsible for it. Then we'll tally up the votes and deliver our award. My vote was for contracts.
Yep, there you go. You don't have to explain, but you can. I'm going to give mine to Licorice. And for me, Licorice deserves something for this split, man. The man got robbed. He was the best top laner in the LCS last year. He didn't get a spot on a team.
His
we
team,
need him back.
His team deleted themselves and deleted their own Twitter and
yeah.
disappeared.
Yeah, so he needs something, and he's going to get an award. Congratulations, Licorice.
I think contracts,
I guess a vote
contracts
for
had too many Baron steals not to get something.
True. I mean, Contract had a really good split. For me, I'm going to give it to Double Lift.
Nice. Yeah.
I don't need to explain it.
There you go. Okay.
Respect. All right. There you go. Kobe, on to the next one.
All right. Next one. The timeless top lane / most successful old man / most likely to still be playing when they're 80 years old. Who is a current pro. I'm definitely going to go with Impact here. The actual top lane GOAT. Now, the discussion for top lane GOAT, at the beginning of this episode, we talked about overall North American GOAT. I think Impact has top lane LCS GOAT just locked in.
Yeah.
I feel like that's almost non-negotiable. But the coolest thing is that he's been doing this for so long and had such a big career before this, won the world championship before he even started in the LCS and got to this position as LCS top lane GOAT. And he doesn't look like he's slowing down at all. So I think he's going to keep on going.
I mean, I think he's not the greatest of all time top laner of the whole world.
Yeah, LCS.
But I would, yeah, no, I know you said that. But I would say he definitely has an argument to be like top 10, top 5, like something. Like he's got to be in there. Because just the longevity in his career, the fact that he's had international success, you know, not only did he actually win Worlds, but in NA, he went to MSI Finals with TL as well. And that's a pretty big one. I don't know. He made quarters, I think, at least one time in NA in Worlds, I want to say. I can't remember how many times.
We made it in 2016.
Yeah. So he made quarters at least once. I can't remember if there was other times. But he's done a lot internationally as well, even with his time in NA, especially for being in NA. So I think it's really cool. And the longer he's around, the longer he keeps having this success, I think the more he has to become, you know, more of a conversation for not even just NA, but for globally. Because he always shows up when he goes international too. Like even against the best top laners in the world, he always seems to really kind of up his game when it's matters most, right? Whether it's playoffs or whether it's international.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Impact's like my GOAT for sure. He's, yeah. I think...
For LCS or for top lane?
For everything? Top lane, maybe. I don't know. Like, it's close. He's getting there for LCS. I think, you know, Doublelift's still probably, like, the king for
but
now.
But he's in your top two or top three?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, I mean, just I think the fact that Impact has had so much success on so many different teams, and I think you would be hard-pressed to find someone that he's played with that would have anything negative to say about him. Like, every single player who's played with him has, like, glowing reviews for him. He's just, like, such a good dude to work with. He really elevates his team. He doesn't complain. Yeah, he works hard. And that's just, you know, doing that for that amount of time, super hard to do. So, you know, nothing but respect.
Yeah, incredible work ethic. Kobe, do you want to deliver this next one?
What's the next one? this is one that Azale made. this is for the betrayal of the split.
Oh, wow. Who could
that
be?
And the winner is Mr. Medios.
Oh, woo!
For not showing up to our movie.
How could you?
That we scheduled 3 days before.
3 months before.
Three days before.
3 months, no reminder.
I just thought it was funny because I saw also after we did the episode where we're roasting you so hardcore for the first, like, we roasted you probably for like 5 minutes for it. I saw all the comments that were like, oh man, I feel so bad for Medios. Look, he feels so bad. He missed I was like, I thought it was funny. It was hilarious. Me and Taco, another guy that showed up, we were laughing for like, you know, 10 minutes about it. It was pretty funny.
I mean, I forgot about it. I didn't realize it was that day. I like, yeah, it was my bad. It's okay to get roasted for it.
The funniest part to me was that as we were texting, I was like, oh, I was still like pretty optimistic. So I was like, yeah, there's like 30 minutes of previews before the movie. You could still get here. And you're like, ah, it's too far. that was what really made me laugh. I was like, I definitely got to bring this one up.
Yeah,
that was pretty funny. But our next award kind of goes hand in hand. The Better Host Than Mark Award.
Low bar.
Yeah, low bar. But you also won that one.
Yay!
Let's go.
Congratulations. It's actually been really, really fun having you on the dive. Yeah. And you've been great to have on, man. So I've been enjoying that a lot. We have one more award here, and this is a really prestigious one. We thought, you know, there's going to be some really deserving candidates, so we really wanted to kind of dig into it.
This took us the longest to come up with.
Put a lot of thought into, you know, who really could be it. And this is, you know, something that is really special to us. So we wanted to talk about the Commissioner of the Year Award. But unfortunately, there was no good candidates. We looked everywhere.
I put in a vote for Travis Gafford, but yeah, he got robbed of the position.
Yeah.
So
it's
I don't
crazy.
Know.
Yeah, there was like we were on Google. We were asking people. Couldn't find a single good candidate.
Yeah,
so
it's crazy.
That's unfortunate.
We were
no
scouring Reddit even, yeah, asking everyone all opinions. Yep. And so unfortunately, that's going to be our only award that has no winner.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode of The Dive. You're going to have to take us out because I have to eat my last little piece of this lemon.
Okay. We had one more kind of funny
get
award.
In there. Yeah, get in there.
And this one is one that I think in the spirit of comedic trash talking definitely hits the mark, and it is the Focus Up Award. From the finals, if you remember the kill on Tabwippo that APA got, where they had to do a replay to show what happened. Is it the lemon doing that to your face or or the play, remembering the play? But Bwippo,
I don't recommend eating lemon. It's pretty gross.
It was where...
Let me tell you, this was worse than I thought.
I would actually say it was better than I thought, but it was
not. Nah, Kobe eats them every day.
Kobe's on some psycho shit. He's taking cold showers, eating lemons in the shower.
I'm like, we should literally bet on anything. None of the bets, I feel like the payoffs have not been bad at all.
Really? Even the ice bath? That hurt.
That one did hurt because that was colder than when you do cold exposure, because the ice bath was like, I remember the temperature was below 40,
and it was in
so
the
that
30s.
that was kind of crazy.
It hurt my legs,
but oh yeah, the award for Focus Up, Whippa wasn't looking at his character for, it seemed like 3 seconds almost in the replay when he was looking to use his game plank ultimate, you know, trap of global ultimate.
He got like 2 full Aesol Q ticks on him before he realized he was being attacked, yeah. And then he still died. Like, oopsie.
I think he flashed also, I think. I remember in the replay.
That one's tough. I'm not going to lie.
That was a focus up.
We've all been there. We've all had that dumb mistake where you're watching, you know, you're watching your beautiful GP alts. You're like, what a good alt. You know, you see what's happening. Unfortunately,
so I think to give him the benefit of the doubt, I don't think he like ulted and then he was just watching
He's watching the dive.
I think he was checking to see if he should ult or not, because that's not always easy to judge. It's like, you know, you don't always just throw out the GP ult. You're like, you know, is this going to matter? So I think he was trying to judge the situation, like, should he ult?
Hadn't he already ulted though when he was standing there getting killed?
I'm not 100% on that.
Okay.
I would have to check the timing, but I mean,
I think he was.
I feel like it was probably he was.
Yeah.
Checking it. Yeah. If he ulted and was just watching his ult, then yeah, you know, focus up, bro. But
I thought it was just he was just watching the dive. I'm not gonna lie.
When you said that originally,
he's watching us.
Yeah. That's why I turned it and smiled at you, because I was like, oh, so he like alt tabbed and then opened up a YouTube and looked at our episode. Actually, that is gonna do it for this episode. Speaking of that, let's wrap it up. Remember, if you are watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. You don't want to miss an episode of The Dive. You can also check us out on Spotify. You've got something to add?
Yes. I believe our next episode is gonna be on the 15th. 15th? I think it's on the 15th. We're gonna say that. And,
got some slight nods.
We will correct ourselves if it's wrong. but that's when it's gonna be. So we're still gonna have episodes coming out between now and MSI. We have a couple planned. So I think there's gonna be one on the 15th, and then there's gonna be another one that hopefully will be kind of like a bit of a preview episode before we go off to MSI. Yeah. We'll let you guys know more plans for that when we have them. But definitely look forward to more Dive coming out before the MSI. And then as we go off to MSI, we're going to try to figure out something. The schedule is going to be crazy there because it's 18 show days in 20 days. And then I think we have meetings on the only 2 off days.
Yeah.
There's not going to be a lot of time to record content. But we are going to try to figure something out. Maybe you guys can give us your suggestions in the comments. We were thinking maybe we could do, you know, audio episode, or maybe we could do, you know, rotating guests, or just kind of figure out something, because we want to definitely get episodes for you guys out during the international event. But it's going
to
be a crazy schedule.
Our goal this year is to do as many Dive episodes.
We're going to set a record.
Regardless if LCS is going or not, as we possibly can. Yeah, we're going to set records.
Yep.
We're going to set records this split, and it's going to be fun, but we're going to have to get creative with it because there won't always be LCS going on. I'm just going to pick back off in the paragraph where I was.
Go for it.
And so I had just said Spotify.
Spotify.
Just remember the first couple sentences that I said last time around. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any podcast platform. Make sure you send us your questions on Twitter with the hashtag TheDiveLOL. We will be doing episodes of post-finals. We just did an episode post-finals.
We did it.
While we're on break. Just read these like Ron Burgundy. so stay tuned.
I mean, any episode after the finals is post-finals.
Yeah.
This was post-finals.
Yep. And the next one will be too.
Yeah, and we ate lemons, and that was terrible. So thank you for that.
Also, we are going to need more ideas for bets, because the reason we got the lemon one is like, well, we've done a lot of bets already. We did like cosplays. We did the cold thing.
We've done the spicy.
We did spicy stuff. That's like the first go-to. It's hard to get more creative with bets that aren't going to actually physically injure us
or get us fired.
Yeah.
None of those are allowed. All right, we'll see you guys next time on The Dive.